And look, most of the people are still with us.
I know. You are still with us. Thank you very much.
They didn't all bail. How amazing.
We didn't suck.
This is our official last event. Just so you know, how it's going to go is after the Legends of Podcasting, we will start doing a book signing for Podcasting for Dummies, penned by Chuck and myself. And then and while we're signing books, if you want to go Hunger Games on any of the stuff that's left in the that is your last chance. Once we sign books, once our pencils are down, then the silent auction is closed. So that's the thing. The more people bid, or no, the more books you buy, the more longer chance it is for you to bid. So there you go. If you're not buying the books, I got news for you. That silent auction ends quickly. So, what? Well,
if you brought your own, we'll sign it too.
BYOB, bring your own books. Well, first off, thanks everybody for joining us. As we were coming in, I overheard this participant say, this has been fantastic. I hope she was talking about this event. It was fantastic. And thank you all very much for joining us. We do have survey forms in case, because if we want to do this again, I think we are, the thing is that we're going to need your feedback to make it better, and that's what we're looking for. So let me go on ahead and let me introduce our panel for the Legends of Podcasting. Over on the far left, at least my left, is whom I refer to as the Iron Man of podcasting until he stopped. But that's Jack Mangan. Jack Mangan was famous for being for his Duel of the Fates, which was this side sketch in Michael R. Meneghay's podcast that evolved into its own thing, and then he went on to podcast Spherical Tomy, which was the number one books on PodiaBooks.com for a while. And then, of course, there was Jack Mangan's Deadpan, which, while the podcast closed up shop about, 3 years ago?
It's like 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Jack still made it in the book because the podcast community that he built is still going on online through the blog. And it's nuts. I love that.
They have an annual meetup.
Bunch of nuts. They're a huge bunch of nuts.
Yes, they are. They're a mixed bag of nuts. So that's Jack Mangan. And then sitting next to him is my partner in crime, Chuck Tomasi. Chuck came on board. Chuck came on board with Podcasting for Dummies in the second edition. Evoterra decided that he did not want to continue with it, so I said, well, who else do I know that's crazy enough to do this with me? Hey, Chuck, what do you think? And then...
Okay.
The best part of all was I sprung it on him at one of the podcast events, Podcast and Portable Media Expo, whatever they were calling it that year. And it was really nice being able to unveil to everybody that, yes, this was my new cohort with Podcasting for Dummies. Chuck is also known for Technorama. He does that with Craig Stepp. Occasionally, other people who take over the studio. And
Jack show.
Yeah.
What?
And
raising things.
And Chuck is one of the originals. You know, he started in 2004, so he knows what he's talking about. And then we have CJ. We have CJ over here. CJ was on Love, Long, and Prosper. And she just showed me the show art for her brand new podcast that she is currently formulating in her head, which is, it was called Dating the Net.
Date the dot net.
And it's basically about online relationships, which means me and my wife may be calling her very soon so that we can all sit down and talk on mic about that. And then sitting next to her is Michael R. Meneghay. You've heard his name throughout the entire night. Michael R. Meneghay, who is probably the biggest enabler in podcasting next to me, he got me involved, he got Jack involved, he got a lot of it, he got Mer Lafferty, he was the first one to get Mer Lafferty behind the mic, and you know, he got Kevin involved, he really has been probably one of the most influential people in podcasting. And it always was a delight to work with Mike, even back in the days of internet radio. That was how the two of us met.
So, that's where it all started.
February
of 2002.
Yeah, and he said, we need a filler. Call T.
Yeah.
Call T. Last but not least, one of the longest-running podcasters out here, Adam Christensen of the MacCast. when I was writing the segment about intros, show intros, I had Adam's original intro. Hey, everyone, it's Tom with the MacCast, with the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. And I wrote that in word for word in the 2007 edition. I said, I wonder if that's changed. So I went back to the MacCast, I popped it in, and sure enough, hey, everyone, it's Tom with the MacCast, show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. And I said, God love you, man. God love you. So this is just a cross section of what makes these podcasters the legends of podcasting. They have been.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Hey. Morris was an early podcaster. Today's the social media and communications professional and podcast on topics ranging from original fiction to internet security to video game reviews. Video game reviews. I told them to change that.
Editors. Editors.
You had one job, Colleen. One job. That's a story.
Ask us at beer.
On the third round.
And they say about the editing process.
But anyway. Instead, I want to talk about those first steps. I want to talk about, we're going to start with Adam, about the first steps into podcasting. How did you feel when you started this whole thing?
Wow. I'm trying to think how to answer that. So the reason I started my podcast in 2004, December 13th was the first episode, was basically I had discovered podcasts, I was listening, and I wanted I'm a huge Apple and Mac fan, and I wanted to find that show. So the question is, how did I feel about it?
Yeah.
I felt excited because I realized I had between a Logitech $25 USB microphone and the GarageBand software on my Mac that here's something that I could do. I didn't know where it was going to go, so I felt a little lost. Like I knew what I wanted to do, but I knew why I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it because I was hoping someday I'd be able to have a career around Apple and Mac stuff. At the time, I was doing programming. I still do that. But I thought, here's an opportunity I can establish myself as an expert. So I was nervous. I didn't know. At that time, there was no directory. There was no iTunes. There was no, like, I had no idea how anybody was going to find this thing, how I was going to promote it. So there was all that
stuff. That was before Podcast Alley, wasn't it? And all of that.
Nothing existed. Yeah. I can't even remember if Adam Curry had started the OPML iPodder thing yet.
Nope. Not yet.
So, and then, so the where I want to get this to is, so I record that first episode, I throw it out there, and immediately, within a day or two, I get an email from someone. And so that's when I was hooked, because then I was just like over the moon. I'm like, somebody found this thing. And he asked me a question. He asked me to answer a technical question. He was having trouble with his computer. And a big part of the show is exactly that now. A big part of my show is helping people with their tech questions. So I just felt amazed. I felt I had tapped into something that was going to be incredible. And here we all are. I mean, it's been amazing ever since. So 13 years.
Yeah. So, Mike, a variation on that, because you were kind of the ringer of all of us here. Mm-hmm. You had all the gear.
Well, I didn't. That's the thing, is that the thing people don't understand is that this started out as me alone on a pool table in my pool house.
That sounds like the beginning of a bad joke.
I know, it does, doesn't it? But I was asked to basically create a show because I had been in broadcasting for years and years and years before I started doing this. Yeah, and I had some gear, but I mean it was crap. I mean it was an old SM58 microphone and an old mixer that I had from that's a good microphone.
I had crap. That's a good mic.
But a realistic mixer and so forth. And I was just create some content on the book that I had just written and released, and it was. I thought, well, this would be a great way to write books. So I met up with a gal that started a internet radio station, and she just wanted me to do content about my book for that station. Just just like 30 minutes or so. That's how this all started. So it was. Oh, I thought, okay, well, I'll do a couple, two or three episodes of this, and then I'm done with it. Yeah, 14, 16 years later.
But real quick, the difference between internet radio and podcasting.
A big difference,
yeah.
Because it was not – podcasting didn't even exist
right.
Then. This was pre-podcasting. But that started me down the road, and then it evolved into an actual show, and then it evolved into a bigger show, and then I used my broadcasting content contacts to actually get – the show that I created syndicated, which got us on AM/FM radio stations throughout the country, and then that moved me to XM satellite radio, and that's where the show was when podcasting came into existence. So we came in with a completely fleshed out, formatted show. And instantly started podcasting. Boom. And that's why everybody was like, holy crap, he's got all this equipment, he did all this stuff. It's like, no, we didn't. This was like two, three years before podcasting even existed. We were already established.
Right.
And we were just lucky.
Just lucky. Yeah.
I was just lucky.
Now, how about you, CJ? What about your first... your first episode, the first... I love it when you smile and look at me like that.
Well, I mean, you got to know why I started podcasting.
Go for it.
Okay, so my ex-husband, and he still does the sound quality for the Quick and Dirty Tips Network. He still does all the... I don't know if he does all the auto editing. But so he had a history in broadcasting, and he was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time. And it's just really funny. The story is really quick. He was like, when we have these arguments, we should just record them. We should record the arguments and then let people vote.
Oh,
you guys,
really? Marriage by commitment.
Wait, those of you who know him, you would expect this from him. Am I right? Okay. So I said, how about we just talk about something like... What did I miss?
That's awesome. Show right there waiting
they're
to happen.
Talking over here.
This is the video podcast of the two of them just being silent.
So I said, you know, I was like, okay, fine. You know, you want to do that. But I said, they're going to vote for me. I'm adorable. And so we decided, I said, you know what? I love Star Trek. And I have this domain, Love, Long, and Prosper. I said, why don't we watch episodes of Star Trek and talk about it? And so he was like, okay, well, we could do that instead. That's fine. So, because, you know, I'm adorable. So we started, so we did. We'd watch an episode of Star Trek. We started talking about it. And we're both such type A personalities that, like, you put a microphone in front of us. It's like just us talking over each other. And for whatever reason, people really enjoyed that. And then, there was never any shyness. We never had any issues because it was just the way we both were. Like, it was already in our nature. And then we started going to the podcast meetups, and that's where I met Mignon. And she was like, well, you should do a podcast on my network. And I was like, well, all I do right now is stay home and be a mom. She's like, well, do one on parenting. And I had a history in child development. That's what I went to college for. And right. I worked with kids. So I said, okay. And so that was totally different, though. So we had the one where it was Star Trek, where we just sort of babbled on about Star Trek for an hour. And then I had a five-minute show each week that was scripted talking about how to be a good parent. So it was just fascinating to me. Like, you put a microphone in front of me, and I will just talk. So I never had any of the weird qualms that other people have about, like, how's it going to sound? Because I didn't ever have to listen to it till he was done editing it. Like, he would edit it. I mean, in the middle of the show.
And you're adorable.
Like, I am. So, yeah. So it was fun.
How about you, Chuck? I mean, that first show. I mean.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear Lord. I hope no. I really hope that's not even out there anymore. It was. Oh. My ambitions were bigger than my skills. And it was terrible because I didn't have the courage to tell my wife what I was doing.
I didn't either.
It was called,
I got in trouble for it.
It's
later.
Known as ninja casting. So I had been listening to podcasts for a couple of months and frankly was not impressed with what I was listening to. Sadly, a number of these people are still my friends today. And I said, I can do better than that. And I, like Adam, I recognized I had a Mac, I had GarageBand, you can record, you can even make some nice musical clips. And I spent, you know, maybe a couple of weeks between a business trip to the UK putting together an intro, and what am I going to talk about? I have no effing idea. registering the domain. I didn't even have WordPress at the time. I was running a blog software program that I wrote. Actually, I rewrote it. I wrote it once in Perl and then rewrote it again in PHP. I used that for about 6 months until my buddy Craig said, "What are you doing?" Like, you know, there are free applications that have way more features. I'm like, well, good. Let's try that. But back to December, that cold December day in 2004, I took my laptop out to my minivan and used the built-in speaker and microphone. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's as bad as it sounds when you talk to somebody on WebEx.
I got my third car casting.
And I didn't have any confidence in what I was saying. I didn't have any. It was really dry and dull. I did hear it like one more time. I think I had it on a CD or something that I lost in the move, let's say.
Okay,
and,
so
and I just listened to this and I went, oh, it's awful. That's
so that was your first show, and you're up to what show now?
Well, Technorama is over 515. There were about 100 Gmail podcasts.
Right.
Freestyle, I lost count when it got past about 300. What else was in there? Radio Yesterday, which I don't really say anything. I just repurpose old-time radio, which was fun. The we now have a new show called The Topic is Trek. Which is up to 8.
Big ol' 8, yeah.
Big ol' 8. Well, yeah. We just started it this summer, yeah. And it's bi-weekly. And
hey,
then, of course,
potholes.
And then Podcasting for Dummies. And
the topic is Trek? Is Star Trek, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just lighting up over here.
Now, how about you, Jack?
Well, for me, it's actually a little bit different. It's 2005. I was trying to break in as a sci-fi writer, which you know, you and I have that in common. Mm-hmm. That was our original motive. I broke in. I went to a convention. I actually didn't meet Michael. I met his three cohorts, Evo Terra, Summer Brooks, and Joe Murphy, at this convention. And they kind of sold me on it. They said, hey, you know, there's this show called Escape Pod coming up, and, you know, there's all this stuff coming up. They said, you know, this is a great way to get your writing out there. So I had, you know, this book that was mostly done and a couple of things published. It was at this convention, and it just really hooked. So I really started to connect with these guys, and then they said, you know, we have a couple of segments, which actually TD0013 was one of them, did a different point of view, and Mer Lafferty did something for their show. They said, you know, we want you to...
Geek Food,
that's
Geek
right.
Geek Food Action Grip was the one Mer Lafferty did.
God, I couldn't even remember.
They said, we'd like you to contribute that.
So long.
It was what T mentioned. It did something called Duel of Fates, which just took random characters and pit them against each other and completely ridiculous.
Oh, that was awesome. I forgot about that. I completely forgot you did that.
I told you alcohol would do that.
There's just too much.
Duel
I just
of Fates
can't
is
remember
like the
it
best.
All.
Duel of Fates is amazing.
I know. Duel of Fates
was totally
awesome.
Ridiculous. It was these pair-ups.
It was.
And I'm like, why am I listening to this? Why do I find it so compelling?
Exactly.
Well, I love when people get really upset. Like,
yeah.
How could that
person
beat that person?
What do you mean Zorro could beat Captain Kirk? It's not going to happen.
Sexual prowess.
Yeah, never.
Always the sexual prowess. Every time.
Oh, so anyway, so I got involved with that. And then at the same time, I promoted my podcast novel through Michael's show, through the Winging It show, to Ad
Nauseam. Sir, Tomi.
Yes.
Everybody say it together.
Yeah. I actually overdid it to the point where it became a drinking game. Every time Jack mentions this.
I'm not sure that we played any promos more than Spherical Tomi on awesome. The entire, on all the shows across all the spectrums over 14 years. It got more, I think it got, Spherical Tomi got more airtime.
Did you ever envision like this ridiculous Duel of Fates leading to stuff like Spherical Tomi, like the Deadpan Experience, and so forth?
No, I mean, I never intended to do a full podcast, but really, and I'm sorry, I'm taking up time here, but basically, I had done those things, and then Michael and Evo came to me and said, you know, we're starting a network, this Farpoint Media Network. We'd like you to do a full time show. I said, you might make some money. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, that's a perfect spot to end on, because what I wanted to do is turn it over to any of you for questions, because what you should be hearing is the same stuff that you should be hearing if you're thinking about starting up a podcast. We've all been there.
Run.
Before we hit, you know, over 500 episodes, and before we've, you know, been working on the same podcast for over a decade, and before we made the jump after XM and such to podcasting, we all started somewhere. We all started right. in this spot. And I will be the first one to tell you, when you start up a brand new podcast, as I did 22 episodes ago with Happy Hour, I was like, what am I doing? I'm not that player. I'm not that level player. And then when I was driving, we were listening to the show with me and one of my cohorts, and the co-host turned to me and goes, he looked at me and said, God, we're ridiculous. And I was like, then I guess the show's working.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all have been at that point. So what questions would you have for these?
I want to expand on that just a little bit, because there's been kind of a continuing theme throughout the day here in that, why podcast? Okay, you're not going to be making any money. You're not going to become famous and so forth. But what I have discovered over all the span of what we've done, what we did, is the opportunities and the doors that opened that would have never opened if it wouldn't have been going down this road.
Yep.
If I would not have sat down with that little realistic mixer and microphone and done that first show for this stupid little book radio that I think had maybe 20 people that actually listened to it, that would not have taken me to syndicating the show, to XM, to getting a show on KFYI, on the most freaking conservative radio station in this state. Yeah. We had a show that was the most liberal show that has ever aired on that channel, and we were like the top of the top. Mm-hmm. Matt Drudge threw us off of that station because we had better numbers than him, and it pissed him off. That's a true story.
That's actually how we met.
That's how we met, yes.
Because of KFYI.
Exactly.
Because we had met at the Timothy Zahn signing.
Yep.
And you guys were doing your show later.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Just come down, and then I worked for Game Crazy, so I was your video game guy for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's what got me started.
So the opportunities that come from this is really what to focus on. Because you never know where this road is going to take you.
I can say with 100% certainty that I would not be here in Phoenix in his old house driving Evo's old car.
Right.
The job I've got right now is a direct impact of podcasting. I was let go in 2010. It was because of what I did in podcasting and the people I met and the network that I had built that turned a catastrophic, see ya, thanks for your 22 years. I didn't go with my head in my hands. I went, let's go to the next thing. And 3 weeks later, I had a new opportunity. And fortunately, they endorse podcasting, and I'm doing a successful video series for work, taking the exact skills that I learned in podcasting. It's the opportunities, it's the network, it's the friendships.
Absolutely.
That's the richness I get.
It's my day job that I have right now is with a fan of Slice of Sci-Fi, the show. That's who employs me now, is who's somebody who used to listen to my show religiously, and after I gave up the podcasting thing and said, okay, I'm done with this, we've gone as far as we can go, he said, well, come work for me. And it's like, that was like the next day. There was no downtime whatsoever. I had those connections made ahead of time. So you just never know where it's going to come from.
And also, we're not representative of, like, I may be the only lady up here, but I am, but that is not the case. There's a lot of women in podcasting.
Yes,
and
there are.
They're out there.
Absolutely.
And
oh,
yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Like what you're saying. I worked for Grammar Girl, and when I was on the Grammar Girl network, I was actually making money. I made money. It wasn't a ton, but it was because it was on a network paid for by a publishing company, and I got paid for episodes, not just commercials. And so it did happen. And so that was a huge opportunity. Plus, I got to hang out with Grammar Girl. She's a great friend of mine. But at the same time, I wound up working for her, doing statistics and all of her, I answered her emails and all kinds of fascinating things that I got to do for her, mm-hmm. Behind the scenes as a, because I was a working at home mom at the time. And so I got that opportunity, which I never would have had I not done a Star Trek podcast and then been a Mighty Mommy podcast and all of that. So that's pretty cool. And I mentioned in a book, and I think that's pretty cool too.
It's really cool.
And one more little anecdote on this. So I pick up my teenage daughter from Boys and Girls Club where she goes. She's got this big, kind of strange smile on her face. It's like, what's up? Nothing. So we get in the car, we're driving home. She says, so we Googled for our parents today.
Nice.
Now, first of all, that could go in a lot of bad places. But so she said, so you're the Iron Man of podcasting?
Score!
Yes, daughter. Underground base. I have a name, Jarvis. I have a suit, and it doesn't fly, but it does throw out a hell of an RSS feed.
And I backed my car into the parking spot.
There you go. Yeah, thanks, Batman. Did anybody have any questions for the panel, though? Or are you guys just enjoying listening to us riff? I figured that's what it was. I mean, this is what, you know, when I started with the keynote, the beginning was, you know, this is what I got out of it. This is what you're not necessarily getting out of it. Obviously, there are exceptions to the rules, but in the end, it's about the heart that we put into this. And you've probably been hearing that a lot today. I would also say, though, that the panel that Justin, the talk that Justin gave on hosting and the challenges of hosting and all the different things that go into that, that tends to be a tripping block for some people. Once you get past that, it's all down to you. It's all down to you and what's in here and how you feel about whatever it is. And I think the sanity thing that Jack and Mark were talking about, that also resonates true. It resonates true because, you know, I remember when I was teaching podcasting, because that was an opportunity I had. It was a contract thing. This company they were the only people on the East Coast that were doing this thing called podcasting. And when we launched the class, I remember my boss came up to me and he said, "T, there may be 10 people at this class." I said, "Okay, so it's 10 people. I do the best I can." They were actually turning people down at the door because they couldn't fit another person in the classroom, and it was up to 30. And he's like, "T, we don't have anybody to back you up." I said, "Chill. I wrote the book. I got this." And I remember this one woman from that class started up, of all things, a Rudolph Valentino podcast. You can't get more niche than a Rudolph Valentino. And she dropped me an email. She went, "T, I'm so excited. I saw that I had 40 listeners." And I was like, "You go, girl. You go." Do I know if she's still doing it to this day? I don't know. That was 10 years ago. If she is, God love her. But that's what we're talking about with the passion. That's what Kevin was talking about with the passion. You don't just have to be entertaining. You've got to want to get behind the mic. You've got to want to do this. The hosting, yes, that's a challenge. But once you figure that out, the real challenge is here. The real challenge is what you have to say and how passionate you are. And as Joe can probably attest, it is a slippery slope. Joe's like, "I'm only going to do one podcast. Oh, wait, there's my friend Kelly here.
Yeah.
And I want to go on ahead and do this cast." It's
addictive.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I heard T's doing this thing with Nick Kelly where they're doing a D&D podcast. I could do a D&D podcast. I could call up some friends. And then it just
seems so easy. All of a sudden,
you should have been scarier, Justin, in your talk about hosting. You should have been scarier about that. But so
I've done a D&D podcast.
So did you guys want to have any parting? Any? Oh wait.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up something, and I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer. That's not where I'm going with this.
But you are in it.
Wow, good lead in.
Perspective. So for the folks who are starting out or newbies at podcasting, what's your guys' advice for those for when the podcast is going to end? Because they are going to end, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Unless they you're supernatural. Are? Unless you're supernatural.
Supernatural.
Supernatural podcast, you will never end.
The Simpsons.
Or The Simpsons, yeah.
Hey,
I did want to...
Some shows are good for... some shows are good for 500 episodes. Some shows... Potholes made it to 8.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it before that died.
I've done 640, and I haven't stopped since 2004, so, and I don't think I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
So
you never know. It goes as long as it needs to go.
I've been begged not to stop, so.
But I wonder if people are thinking that's a fear that they have.
Like, is this going to go forever? I do think about that.
Does that mean nobody cares about me? Does that mean, I don't know what they're thinking.
No, it shouldn't be.
I think it's a good idea to have a perspective on, obviously, my Star Trek podcast ended abruptly when I got divorced. So it just stopped. But had it kept going, literally there would have been, if we had gotten through all of the episodes and all of the movies, we wouldn't have had any content until now. And now I would be podcasting about Star Trek again.
Or but the Orville.
So it depends. Oh, I love the Orville. Can we just talk about that right now? No, I'm just kidding.
Let's do.
Depending on what your content is, that'll tell you how much time you have to go as far as, you know.
And I mean, it's going to end when you decide you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's okay.
You're not required to go on forever.
That's what I would tell people. We've been talking about passion, and you do it as long as it feels right to do it, and you want to do it, and people are receptive to it, or even if they're not, it doesn't matter. A lot of it is doing it for you.
And if you're miserable doing your podcast, no one's going to want to listen.
Then it's time to end, and you just end it.
Or
and
take
you don't
a break.
Have to have a lot of guilt or
reinvent it. I mean, how many times did we reinvent Dragon Page?
No
my
kidding.
God.
No.
Move on to the next thing.
And, keep the name and just the show completely stopped and restarted completely differently. So you can do anything.
So in closing then, because we need to wrap up, because we want to not only give a moment for us to sign books and sell books, but also give a last chances at the silent auction. What's the parting advice you want to give to the folks that have come out here for this workshop? What's the parting advice that you want to have people walk away from? Start with Jack.
Oh crap. Yeah, let's keep it simple. Don't feel like you need a $10,000 studio. You can start really simply and just. Don't say, oh, well, I can't, it won't sound good enough. Don't worry about any of that stuff. If you've got something to say, which everybody in this room does, you got something to say, just get it out there, get it done, whatever, by any means necessary. It can improve as you go.
Chuck. Follow your passion. That's number one. If you want to start a Rudolph Valentino podcast and you got 40 listeners, by gosh, those are the people that are out there on the internet looking for Rudolph Valentino content, and you are the source. So, as Shannon, who unfortunately couldn't stay this long, he gave me something about a couple months ago. He said, the riches are in the niches. The more specific you can make your podcast, the more dedicated listener you will have, because that is the content they're coming after.
Yep.
What about you, CJ?
Okay, from my experience, what I would say is do it for you and not for anyone else. Like, you don't have to cater to your listeners. Once you have your listeners, they'll let you know what they're looking for and you can cater then. But when you start up, do it for you. Episode 5 is most likely where you're going to get into your groove. Yeah. Episode 10 is where you're going to get good. So keep it up. Don't give up until at least the 10th episode.
We didn't even really choose to get listed on iTunes and the other directories until we were at about 5.
I found that in all past catches that I've started, and it's been like that, 5 and then 10.
What about you, Mike?
Well, trying not to just keep replicating what everybody else is saying, I would say don't say no. If an opportunity opens and presents itself, be bold.
Try it out.
Try it out. Because no matter what, even if you fail at it, it still gets you kicked down the path to doing something else. Maybe that will open a door or an opportunity to something that does fit. I never planned on actually syndicating on AM/FM, but an opportunity happened, and it was like, okay, we're going to have to reformat and do a whole lot of work in order to do this. Oh, it's going to be so complicated. No, screw it. Let's just do it. And even though it took an amazing amount of time to make that jump, it got us so far. It gained us so much more. So you never know what opportunity is going to happen, even though it seems like it's the wrong thing to do or it's going to be a whole lot more work. Don't say no. Do it. Try it. See if you can make it work.
How about you, Adam?
I would just say, you know, every single person up here had zero listeners until they started a podcast. So we all started at the same place. And if you're thinking about doing a podcast, you're at that same place. You can't have something until you put it out there and you create it. So you just have to create it and see what happens.
Yep.
And see where it takes you. And if you're lucky, it'll take you amazing places.
On that note, we're going to sign some books and give everybody a last crack at the silent auction.
Oh, and don't forget the DIY swag bag table.
So in the far corner where Vincent's sitting, that's a DIY table courtesy of Heil. All that stuff is free. So
take it.
If you want to grab something, take it. We got bands, we got hats, we got thermal mugs.
There's not a ton of that stuff, so... You know, be kind.
Someone got a collection of mugs.
Yeah, and the guy with the backpack is inching over there. I see right now.
but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that this was a rousing success. You all made it. So thank you all for coming. Quick round of applause for our speakers.
Round of applause for the attendees.
Again, we have surveys. We want to know what you think about this, not just from the attendees, but from the speakers as well. What can we do to make it better? Because already people are asking us, you're doing this again next year, right? We might be doing it West Coast and East Coast. We don't know. We think we want to do this again because this was hella fun. Thank you all very much. We hope you enjoy the book. We hope you enjoy the silent auction. Take care and good night. Thank you.
Thank you to Chuck and T. Woo!